This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
First of all, how's the new house?
I love the new house.
Yeah. It's just down the street, right?
I bought a house 9 doors down the street from my old house.
Okay. Remember you saying it was really close, which typically makes the moves even worse.
It was worse.
Yeah.
I lagged and I left shit in the old house. I left all the stuff at the old house because it's right there.
Yeah.
It would have been so much better if it was like a town away or a state away where you had to like clean break, like get out. So yeah, it was like paper cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, we're good now, but it took a while. You can leave shit and you slow down your timeline.
Yeah.
I'll move most of the stuff. I got to go back down for that one thing.
Procrastination's a fun thing.
Yeah. That's us. Yeah. That anytime Des and I move, we're like, I'm not moving 2 doors down. We're going to move at least a town or two up, like Solana Beach to Carlsbad. That way, like you said, clean break, it's out, whatever.
Yep.
Enough about that.
We're not talking about housing.
We're not talking about, for some reason.
You're talking about the housing market in 2025?
We can. Actually, that's why we brought you on here, Sean. Yeah. Who cares?
We want to know how bad it is that you bought a house and doors down from your existing home. It's that bad. Let's get into it.
So we have Sean Lake here, owner of Bubs Naturals. Thank you for finally coming on, Sean. I've been trying to get you on forever.
Yeah. Darts.
Yeah, there we go.
When I can get your wife to come on here before you, saying something, bud.
Yeah. I was like that guy in the Matrix. I was just dodging bullets left and right.
So this is a little interesting here. So we are on finishing up season 3 of the podcast now. Heather was our season opener.
Oh.
You are going to be our season closer.
There we go.
So we're just in a lake sandwich here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go with that, dude.
No, we're in a lake sandwich.
Yes. I'm gonna say we're deep in the lake or something. I don't know about lake sandwich, bro. That sounds a little too not PG.
I'm gonna weave that into my home life somehow.
Yeah. I'm just trying to help you out, man.
So much going on, like lake sandwich. Yeah. Seriously, ew.
Exactly.
Feel the ew coming out.
I know. Yeah, we somehow made that work just randomly that we have both the Lake family members right there in the tail end in the beginning of the season. So thank you again for coming in.
She said cool stuff about me just so I can.
You're just going to have to listen to the podcast episode, won't you?
That would have been good homework for me because I wouldn't know how hard I can either flame her or embellish the greatness. Embellish
the greatness. Yeah, that's all she did for you.
Yeah.
That's all she did for you.
She was just promoting you the whole time.
So we like to start the podcast with a little bit of humor here, as much as there's going to be humor in this, but you know, I like to see how this kind of comes out for most people. And it started randomly, I don't even know how, but it started off as like this Tinder profile question. And we realized that most people obviously don't do Tinder or Hinge anymore. So we've kind of shifted gears in the language here. So, but we still use the swipe left, swipe right scenario on this. What is your podcast profile elevator pitch to get people to either continue to listen to this episode or just say, you know what, I'm over it.
Have we completely segued off my relationship with my wife?
Yes.
to be clear.
Yes.
I want some guardrails up here. Well, if you want to know all that there is to know about absolutely nothing, tune into the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Yes. Thank
you. Yes. There we go.
Yes.
That's all we need right there.
Because I will say some rambling bullshit and let's get into it.
Oh, that's awesome. that's our pool that we like to swim in.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
So I want to talk about this first. So No Fixed Agenda.
Thank you.
Was originally Bubs Naturals, I guess, podcast that you guys started during COVID, I believe.
It was actually before COVID. So
it was.
When we launched the brand, everyone had their day jobs. And we knew that there was this thing called content and it was very important. But what really came about is a co-founder and I were talking and he's like, hey, Sean, you know a lot of people. He's like, write down on a piece of paper a lot of the different people that you know of interest. And, you know, like over the years, I've worked with a ton of action sports athletes and I've met a lot of really interesting people. And I didn't know if I could get them like on a podcast, but they were names like Travis Pastrana or Sean White and like fun action sports profile people. And then, you know, Nick Hardwick, who used to be the center for the Chargers, and just a lot of eclectic sports-based people. And then some entrepreneurs and a ton of former Navy SEALs that were all friends with Glenn and teammates with Glenn. So Glenn, who is Bub, who is Bub's Naturals. And by the time the list was done, there was like 30 something names. And we're like, oh, we got to interview everyone. This would be an amazing podcast. Like if you could get Mike Ritland from SEAL Team 3, who's a New York Times bestselling author, how amazing would that be? And then a half dozen pro snowboarders that you've worked with over the years, like, wouldn't that be so much fun? Well, what are we going to talk to them about? Who cares? No fixed agenda.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was how the name was born. It was literally, who cares? Let's just create some content. So there was, this is 2018, like podcasts, they weren't necessarily as siloed and driven. I think they were a little bit more open-ended.
Yeah.
And so we started it and we did it in my business partner TJ's like guest bedroom. And he bought an IKEA desk, put them together, a couple Shure mics. And we just put the audio together and recorded a couple of episodes, including Mike Hazel.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's an Olympian. Mm-hmm. He's a special operations, you know, veteran, like had great stories to tell. We wound him up good and got him talking about the IOC and, you know, it was great.
Oh, we went that direction too.
it's great. It's a ticking time bomb. Just waiting for him to explode. So we did a couple of episodes and then we realized by late 2018, hey, we had a business to run and it was starting to gain traction and we lost focus on it. And that's not uncommon with business owners to like reprioritize and shift focus, or chase squirrels. In this case, it was the right squirrel, which was we need some fundamentals established on running a business that's scaling and growing. And as much as we wanted the content, it just wasn't right. Like we didn't have the time to do it because you needed a couple of hours to grab a guest, a couple of hours to sit down and record, and then you needed a couple hours in post to then upload it. And we weren't recording video of it necessarily to then put on social media. Mm-hmm. So it was like this, it was just going off into this lane by itself. Then we decided to bring it back post COVID.
Yeah.
And at that point it was just me and I was going to host it because during COVID, what we were doing was we were hosting a bunch of Instagram lives. And there was a brief period where Instagram lives were
it was a thing. Yeah, it was a during thing. COVID. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it was a total thing. And I'll never forget, like I'm talking to, you know, my bud Dan, who's like, he was in New York right in the middle of the lockdown. And I'm like, what's it all about? What's it like out there? And it was really fun, informative content. And then we would have like Dr. Gabrielle Lyon on an Instagram live and her husband. And her husband was a SEAL that I used to train with. So like, we're just swapping stories. So it was good light level entertainment. I had Danny Way on, you know, pro skateboarder. Yeah. He's local here. He's an old friend of mine. And we would just have these stories going back and forth. And then that turned into, well, we should really just record a podcast again because these Instagram lives, they only live in your feed. You can't chop them up and edit them and like repurpose the content. So if we own our own podcast, we could do that. So by the time we started again, you were reaching out about using the No Fixed Agenda name. We actually were just calling it the Bubs Show. Like we didn't even rename it back into the original show. Huh. So it was living in limbo.
Yeah.
And then I realized again, man, it's really hard to run a company and be in everything I need to be in and then host people and coordinate a podcast. And so we kind of settled on, we're not going to do this right now. If we're not going to do it really, really well, don't do it.
Yeah.
And we realized we were just doing it kind of good. We want to do it great. So just skip it. So we shelved that. And that was right when you were reaching out. And I was like, you know what? What better hands to be in? Let's go. Jeff, it's yours now.
Yeah. Omar and I started talking about it randomly. You know, I have another podcast that it's kind of in the same situation. Like it was all trail running based. I got kind of tired of talking about trail running nonstop. And it was like, I want to continue to do podcasting, but I don't necessarily want to talk about what I do for a living all the time or in that industry all the time. So I was talking to him about it one day, and I was like, I think we were off doing the GORUCK event in Mission Bay. And we were like, oh, we should, you know, you want to do a podcast with me? And Omar's, he'll tell you from the get-go, he's kind of, that was one of his fears.
Fuck no.
About getting on the mic and everything else.
Hell no. Hold on.
I'm gonna geek out for a second. What distance GORUCK did you guys do?
I think we did, was it 12 or 10 or, well, I don't remember.
We did, I think it was the 13. Yeah. I think it ended up being 12 or 13. I don't know. Yeah. I can't remember.
It was all through Mission Bay. We could have done it ourselves.
Yeah, but it was 2023. it was the Mission Bay one. Started right there in Tecolote Shores Park and did it. It was fun. Like, completely not what I expected.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking because you're going to go 2 to 3 miles an hour, to hold pace.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out there for, say, 4 hours. 4.5 hours?
Yeah, we were out there for roughly about that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So doing that math. During that time, while you're marching along, slogging along, you know, it's long enough that you're, you know, most people are finishing marathons in that time. Like, it's a grind. Mm. And you're thinking, I don't want to do a podcast.
Hell no.
Like, that's harder than this. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I have a lot of reasons, right? I mean, there was a lot of reasons behind why not wanting to do this. And if you would have listened to the first like 10 episodes, you'd understand.
Yeah, he was super nervous on a mic. It took him a while to kind of get it. So I started chatting with him about it, and he finally was like, yeah, let's. And I think when I mentioned it, I think he would have thought that I just would have let it, like, oh, he hasn't mentioned it in a month or so. I think I'm free.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
You don't know Jeff.
Yeah. So, I do, but.
So I keep.
I also know he likes squirrels too. So.
Yeah. So I bring it up again and I started mentioning a couple names, and then I was like, well, you know what? Sean hasn't done the No Fixed Agenda podcast in a while. And I love that name. Let me just reach out and ask.
We had
talked about it. You didn't just reach out and ask.
Oh, no. I know.
You were tenacious as hell. Yeah.
Well, because we had talked about it in the gym. Like, the idea come from the GORUCK, right, that we were doing. But we had talked about it in the gym. And it was like, he was just kind of like pestering me about it because it was like a thing that I didn't want. I wasn't comfortable speaking on the mic, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, well, what about this name? And what about that name? And I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. But I'm thinking it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And here we are.
Yeah.
75 episodes in.
Yeah. And so
it happened.
Yeah. So I pestered you
hard.
Like I did with him. And finally, like, and that was the thing. Like I wanted, it's almost like one of those legacy things, right? Like I wanted there to be a connection to where it started. And that's where I was like, hey, listen, let me take over No Fixed Agenda. And it's presented by Bubs. That way there's a connection to where it originally started.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really great way to kind of bridge the gap, so to speak.
It really was. Like, it was kind of like it was such a sweet deal. I'm like, how can I say no to that?
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like we do talk a lot about the fitness and, you know, we've talked to athletes and everything else. And so when you find a company like Bubs that can come in and sponsor it, right? And it flows into what we actually talk about for the most part.
Yeah.
It was a good hand-to-hand connection. Like, so
handing that over was such an easy decision once I got over the ego part. The ego is like, well, what if I bring it back? And I'm like, I can name it anything else. Yeah. Like, that's not what's important. It's going to go into good hands. You guys, I mean, I knew you were dedicated to it, and you're 75 episodes in. I made it like 9.
Yeah.
Right. So you're already practically 10xing where I left.
My first thought was, I just got to get to 10. That was my thing. I'm like, if we just get to 10 episodes,
that
great.
Was the confidence you had in us right now. 10 episodes.
But I looked at it. I was like, okay, well, those guys only were able to put out 9. So I got to, the goal is obviously to keep it going, but I was like, 9 is, if we get 10, like, all right, we've exceeded where this thing was, and we're moving it forward. That was the thing. That was the thing that scared me about it too. In a sense, is like, okay, we're going to take this name over. And what if this thing flops right away? Like the connection between Omar and I, like the banter, the maybe the guests we bring on weren't, you know, very interesting. Like there's, you know how it is. There's a lot of things that kind of play into it. And then you also have to factor in, we're both business owners. So it's like, all right, your time frame constraints and everything else fly into it. So in my head, I was like, all right, 10 episodes. We've moved it. We've moved the needle forward now.
Yeah.
Now we can see, you know, how this thing can progress even further now that we've gotten past that point.
Oh, you're well past that now.
Yeah. So very, I think,
cool. And we got into a rhythm. I think that was the biggest thing too. I think I was worried about the chemistry too, because I was so awkward out the gate. And
well, you're awkward now still, but
I am, but I'm like an easier flowing awkward now.
You're easier flowing awkward.
Yeah. Like people expect the awkwardness right now.
People do expect awkwardness.
Yeah. I'm new to this, but I'm going to say he's flowing awkward. That's good. That's
yeah. Works. Yeah. I think so.
It works. It works.
So let's talk about Bubs, because that's one of the reasons that we brought you in. You and I have had this relationship for a while. So I've kind of seen you go, you know, from the marketing side of things at I think it was even Vans. No, where were you at? You were consulting, I think, with somebody.
Insulting?
Consulting. Insulting. Insulting and consulting.
I was like, who are you insulting, Vans?
Sean's always insulting. I'm somebody.
My consulting gig didn't last that long. What happened? Were you consulting or insulting?
Well. So when you and I met, I was thinking about this too. It was like 2011, I think.
Yep.
Ish, around that time. Actually, that is the right time, because I came into CrossFit 2120 right after Glenn passed.
Yeah.
So it would have been right around that time.
It was fall of 2012. And I always forget whether you had met Glenn or whether you came on the back end.
Yeah. So I literally joined up, I think, about a month after that happened.
Yeah. So I guess zoom out for anyone who doesn't know this backstory. So Glenn is this guy, Glenn Doherty. Glenn Doherty was my best buddy from childhood, like literally going back to the eighth grade. And we had all these countless adventures together. And they took us through different chapters of our lives. So literally from the eighth grade to dropping out of college to go become ski bums. Glenn wanted to become a pro skier. I wanted to become a pro snowboarder. Glenn didn't make it as a pro skier. So then he decides his next challenge is going to be to join the Navy and become a Navy SEAL. This is in like the mid 90s. So like we're watching VHS movies of Charlie Sheen to figure out how to become a Navy SEAL. But I was his training buddy. So like we would do these workouts together that we picked off back when we were in college, or from our buddy who was on the rowing team for, you know, Rutgers or something. Like we would literally just cobble together adventures, countless ski adventures. And then Glenn joins the Navy, goes through basic training. And a year later, I go to his buds graduation. So he serves 10 years at SEAL Team 3, which is down in Coronado. So he's a San Diego-based SEAL. I move out after I get done snowboarding for a living. So I had a great fun run in snowboarding. And I used my snowboard money as being a pro snowboarder to pay for college. So then I got my degree. I end up getting recruited by Burton Snowboards, which moves me to San Diego to be a team manager. So a lot of the West Coast pros for Burton were based in San Diego. So Dave Downing, Sean White, you know, some of their bigger names.
Big guys, yeah.
And so I moved down here, and my best buddy Glenn's right down the street in Coronado. So it was like getting the band back together.
Nice.
Fast forward a couple of years, Glenn comes home from a deployment and he introduces me to this very cultish sport called CrossFit. And we're doing CrossFit at the Encinitas YMCA. Like we look like we're having a seizure trying to figure out doing pull-ups on the pull-up bar in the middle of the YMCA.
I can only imagine what that looked like.
Absolutely.
Knowing that demographic at the YMCA, yeah. I'm sure that was interesting.
And, chair, you know, what's going on is all I want to know.
I mean, this is like 06, 07 into 08. And then in 2008, we join a respectable CrossFit gym owned by a former Navy SEAL. So Glenn walks in, does the SEAL thing. And we're just having these fitness adventures and life adventures just kind of, you know, in connection. And the whole while, Glenn had gotten out of the Navy and he was contracting for the CIA. In 2012, fast forward a couple more years, we're roommates. We're both coaching at Danny Miller's gym at CrossFit 2120, just for fun to like moonlight it.
Yeah.
I have a little marketing agency and I'm doing consulting for Converse shoes and Reebok and a couple other brands. And Glenn is deploying overseas, protecting CIA assets in various
you know, either war zones or places of interest, we'll say. And on 9/11 in 2012, Glenn was one of the CIA contractors that was killed in Benghazi, Libya. Mm. So you walk into the gym, you know, weeks or a month after I lost my best friend. And I mean my brother. And it was a national uproar. Like Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. There was a bunch of publicity and a big stink around her. Yeah. There was these massive celebrations honoring the legacy of these American heroes who laid down their lives, saving, you know, it was like 28 Americans that were saved over there.
Yep.
And Glenn, you know, was one of two SEALs killed over there, making sure everyone else got out safely. That was Glenn in a nutshell. So you walked into that gym at a crucible moment of defining the culture of that space, because Glenn was so important, so many people. Probably like at the top of that list was Danny Miller. And Danny Miller owned the gym, CrossFit 2120. Poor Jeff walks in at probably the most dialed up, intense, militant time in that gym's history.
Yeah.
You poor bastard. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was when I joined up, I do remember telling my wife, and I was like, I joined this CrossFit gym. It's right behind my office. And she's like, how is it? I'm like, it's fucking intense. Like and it was, you could see it, the dynamic in the gym was definitely still reeling and healing from what was going on or what went on, I guess. And so, and Danny, you could tell that he was putting a lot of energy into the workouts he was doing, like in programming and stuff to kind of honor some of that stuff that maybe Glenn would have really appreciated, really gotten into or done himself. Yeah, right?
That ethos, that work ethic that
100%.
Was from that community. And Danny and I had a little bit of exposure to the SEAL community through our friendships. And Danny Miller and I were both coaches at Mark Devine's gym, SEAL Fit. So we were the only two civilian coaches at the time that were allowed to teach these crucible events called Kokoros, which are these like 55-hour intensive camps that were designed by a former Navy SEAL, Mark Devine, to help young kids get ready to go to BUDS. So it was like, hey, if you want to go into BUDS and you want to see what it's like, come here.
Yeah.
Well, that was our home gym. So Danny Miller was the head coach at SEAL Fit, and I had my marketing job. So I was just there kind of helping out on the weekends and, you know, whenever, just to keep a free pass because I don't want to pay $200 a month for a membership.
Yeah.
I was just being cheap. But when you walked into the gym those years later, that intensity and that, you know, that desire to respect Glenn's legacy, that community was poured into everything we do. Everyone had a heightened state of emotion and, you know, the new members that joined during that time, it was a very special period. That's when Mike Hazel joined.
Yeah.
It was right in that same window. And, you know, there was an intensity that if you were an athlete, you loved it. Even if you weren't an athlete, you were either absolutely shell-shocked or you got into it. Because it was either get into it and thrive or get out and those guys are crazy.
Yeah.
And it dulled down after a while. Like I think the temp check, you know, everything kind of calmed down.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget like barking orders at you about your squat. get lower, Jeff.
I still do, by the way. I pulled out every trick in the book and I still can't get them at parallel.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
That's his thing.
Have you seen the length of my legs? It's tough.
I put a bench behind him and he sits on it.
Yeah. That's always the kicker as a trainer. When you put a med ball or a bench behind someone, you say, just touch that. In fact, just take a seat. They always do. I'm like, okay, so you poop every day. Yeah. So I know you can. I know you've got.
I know you can get down there.
And based on the length of your legs, it's below parallel. That toilet seat's below parallel, bro. Yeah.
Not in my house.
All right, buy him a squatty potty seat. Yeah.
So I've always kind of wanted to ask, and so they did the movie 13 Hours.
Yeah. Mm.
From that perspective, I mean, obviously Glenn was a part of that movie, not really featured portion of it. Like, do you have any idea like how close that was to, or if you could even reference that? I don't know if you can, but I always thought that was quite interesting knowing the history of some of that based on conversations that you and I had had.
You know, it's interesting having the inside baseball on a national incident and knowing things that are technically classified. And then you're trying to sift through like the reality of what's going to get released, what you're allowed to talk about. Yeah. And remember, there were congressional hearings about Benghazi that had happened. And I gave testimony. Like I flew to Congress twice.
I remember that,
Met with congressmen to talk about this incident and like talk about Glenn and his, it was really more background around Glenn as an individual because obviously I didn't know anything about Benghazi. They were trying to like build this very thorough picture of the four Americans that were killed over there. And along that timeline, what I learned is that the movie is very factually correct.
Wow.
That's good.
And so in that sense, I don't take much beef with the movie. Like, hey, the movie, if you don't know anything about Benghazi, watch that movie.
Yeah.
I've become pretty close friends with Chris Peranto, who's a ranger who
was in that.
He was one of the main guys on the ground that whole time. And he and I have talked about this over the years and, you know, he validated it and he really validated Glenn's role in this. So Glenn, the whole 13 hours movie is based on the guys that were in Benghazi the whole time.
Yeah.
Glenn was in Tripoli. So he had to fly 2.5 hours from Tripoli to Benghazi to then join the fight. Well, he didn't have a plane. So he had this whole adventure from Tripoli, which was securing an aircraft, getting some guys to go with him, getting a pilot, and then getting the plane into a firefight, which is not an easy task to accomplish.
No.
Then from landing on the ground in Benghazi, he had to get from the airport into the CIA annex. By the time all of that had happened, if it's a 13-hour deal, they were already, 11 hours in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he missed most of the action. So the movie was about the action on the ground. Yeah. And every once in a while, if you watch the movie, you'll see them cut away. And Glenn's on the other end of, you know, a satellite phone being like, what's going on? Like, get me down there. So again, accurate. He had his whole separate set of adventures trying to get that airplane to get down there to save everyone.
Wow. That would have been really interesting to have that kind of featured in there too. I think they're knowing that they missed out on some of that, like what really it took to get more Americans there to help out. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So when Michael Bay, who's made all the Transformer movies, like famous, you know, director movie guy, when he made and committed to the 13 hours project, right? Cause the book deal was done really, really quickly. And it was all over the news. The survivors of Benghazi attack are writing a book. And that was like unheard of. I was approached by a film company to talk about Glenn. And it was a film company called Relativity Pictures. You guys remember Relativity?
Yeah,
movie,
yeah.
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Captain Phillips. Like they've got some big movies that they had under their belts. They found me through the attorneys that were helping me manage Glenn's estate. Because remember, I was the executor of Glenn's estate. I was listed next of kin on his paperwork. Like I was the front line of anything Glenn related, congressional hearings, like all of it. So the attorneys that were helping, like some entertainment attorneys, like, you know, they might want to make a movie about this. You never know. Well, next thing you know, I'm in a room with Robbie Brenner, who's this famous producer out of LA. And I'm telling Glenn stories, like Glenn, the funny guy, Glenn, the maniac, like all his, you know, his eccentricities, if you will. They ate it up. So I end up signing a movie deal with Relativity Pictures to make a movie about Glenn and his side of the journey. Oh, wow. Then an article comes out in like the Hollywood Press or something. 13 hours versus, you know, Relativity Pictures. Yeah. Who's going to make the movie first?
Yeah, I remember
they wrote me a check and it was like, you know, like $20,000, which I went right into the estate for Glenn. And it was like, here we go. Who's going to make it first? I started giving interviews with the writer for the movie, this guy, Matthew Sands, who did the movie Deepwater Horizon. Like it was real. And all of a sudden, like, you know, this get ratcheted up, like who are they going to cast? Like I'm joking with Glenn's family about who's going to play Glenn in the movie. And then Relativity files for bankruptcy.
Wow.
Boom. Just like that. Done.
Wow.
So it was actually a rivalry. So when 13 hours came out, hey man, they were just the last horse standing. Like they had better funding.
Yeah. They had more money in the bank.
I vaguely remember that conversation yeah. ghost stories going back and forth, I guess, with that. But
yeah, oh, I drove up to LA. Like they put me up in big hotel rooms and yeah. Hollywood. Heather and I, you know, at the time were dating, just about to get married, and like we're just getting wined and dined up there. And I'm like, this is surreal.
I know Bubs is named after Glenn because that was Bubs' call sign.
Correct. Yep. Bub was Glenn's call sign in the Navy.
So how did you go from the marketing consulting gig?
Thank you. Not insulting.
Marketing consulting gig to the, you know, owning Bubs and getting into the, yeah. the collagen and nutrition space.
Well, I mean, it was really this like perfect confluence of events. One of our biggest clients was Converse Shoes. And at the end of 2016, Converse was like, we don't think we're going to do this big initiative with your agency anymore.
Okay.
So Converse had a major stake in the art space. And we were their agency of record to deal with a lot of their art management stuff. It was super fun. And it was pretty lucrative. I mean, it was a comfortable living when you got Converse paying your bills. Like it yeah. was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But they did a full strategy shift to go into like music only. And they're like, sorry. And they just, you know, that's a hefty six-figure budget that just disappears overnight. So I was left kind of upended and like, well, what am I going to do from a consulting standpoint? I had a business partner at that agency and he had gotten recruited to take a job working for New Belgium Beer. And he's like, oh, I can take a job as a marketing director and have benefits and I can have a real job.
Job
and
security.
I'm like, yo man, you got to do that.
Yeah.
So then he goes and does that. And I have like two small contracts. That's all happening when Heather and I have a one-year-old son. Our son, Sebastian, was about a year old. And Heather brought me home a jar of collagen. So at the time, I'm 45 years old. I've been CrossFitting for, I don't know, 8-9 years at the time. I had just run the Boston Marathon. I had like a lot of aches and pains and a lot of miles on this body. And my wife's 14 years younger than I am. And she just brought this jar of collagen home. And she's like, listen, you're not getting any younger and I need to preserve you in your old age. So I want you to start taking this.
Called you old man.
she did not. She said she had to preserve me. She had to preserve me in my old age.
Got it. So I'm like,
okay, hon. And I didn't really know what was in it. I just looked at the jar and it said hair, skin, nails, joints, muscle recovery. And it was just some brand she bought off Amazon. She's like, yeah, someone came on the news and they were talking about this and I really think it'll help you. And I mean, it hurt getting out of bed. My knees sounded like crinkled up newspaper walking up and down a flight of stairs. Like everything just hurt. So being in that pain state, I was like, well, anything's better than this. And I had tried glucosamine. I had tried Advil. I tried all these different solutions to like, you know, just get that mojo back.
Yeah.
But CrossFit takes a toll. That's a big hour of your life. Running takes its toll. Surfing, mountain biking. Like if you're an active person and you're in your 40s, life is taking its toll. It's going to get its pay out of you. So I started taking it a scoop a day. I was like, well, you know, it can't hurt. Like what's the worst thing that happens? Just like everything else, it's not going to work. And I'll throw the jar away and be done with it. I'm 3 weeks into it and my fingernails are growing like I'm the Wolverine. I'm like, you know that as a guy, you're like looking for the nail clippers. I'm like, I just clipped my nails.
Yeah.
About a month into it, I needed a haircut and I'd just gotten a haircut. So I'm like, what's going on here? And it was 2 months in. I'm at the end of the jar and I got out of bed one day. I'll never forget. We were flying from San Diego to Boston and I'm moving around. I'm getting all the stuff for the kid because the kid has his stroller and the this and then that, all the stuff that you have with a kid. Get to the airport, hop on the plane, sit on the airplane for 5.5 hours. And we're getting off the airplane at Logan Airport. And I'm just like, I feel good. And Heather's like, oh, that's nice, dear. I'm like, no, I feel really good. And I just asked her, I'm like, what is in that stuff? What is in that collagen stuff? And that was it. I knew something magical was happening because my joints weren't seized up. I felt great getting off the plane. I felt like my flexibility was there. My mobility was there. And it took, now I've learned, 2 months of ingesting collagen that was triggering a process in my body to, you know, keep cranking out the collagen, that fibroblast process. And it was just starting to take hold. So I'm like, oh, and it just got better and better and better ever since. It just got like my, mobility got better. My recovery got better. The cushioning to my joints. And that was the gateway. So I fell in love with collagen. And I would literally like stop you and be like, guys, do you know about collagen? You need this stuff. You got gray in your beard? You need this stuff. Yep. And it was several months later when this guy who I was doing a work project with, who became my business partner, you know, he just saw the jar of collagen on the counter. And he's like, oh, you take that stuff? And at this point, I'm like 5-6 months in and I feel great. So I just start raving to him, like I'm back squatting better. Like I just haven't felt this junk. I feel like I'm in my 20s again. Wow. Heck, I feel like I'm in my 30s. Like I feel awesome. And he's like, oh, that's a fast growing trending category on Amazon. We should start a company. And I'm like, I got a 1-year-old crawling around on the floor in diapers behind him.
Not ideal.
I
just lost
my biggest account. Yeah. And I'm kind of cobbling together these smaller accounts, but I believed in it. And we were looking at each other and we were having this conversation. He goes, well, you know, it's a fast growing category. And I'm like, well, it works. Collagen freaking works. So what would a company look like? Like, hey, you know, whatever, we're here sipping coffee, talking about this other work project. And I look at him and I say, well, whatever we do, we got to do something cool for charity. And a little light bulb goes off in my head. I know the charity. It's got to be Glenn's charity. And Glenn, we started a foundation after Glenn died called the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. And it's helping special operators transition from active duty to civilian life, primarily through scholarship.
Yeah. So powerful.
And I'm like, this is a product that stands for self-improvement. Glenn stood for self-improvement. The dude was working out, reading books, leveling up at all times. It was truly inspirational to be in his company. And Glenn was always helping others. So we can give 10% of all profits to charitable causes in Glenn's name. And we have this North Star above us. Every product we make will stand for self-improvement. And as a byproduct, if we run a good company and we run a tight ship, we'll be able to help charities out. A good 1-2 punch.
Yep.
And Glenn's call sign in the Navy was Bub. And I was like, this makes sense. This really feels right. So I called Glenn's family. I called a couple of his SEAL teammates. And I'm like, guys, what do you think? And they're like, well, Glenn would kick your ass if you don't do this. You have to do this. And that was it. It was literally a social experiment that took off. And, you know, my commitment was, if I'm going to put my best friend's name on the jar, it damn well better be the best product you can get your hands on, bar none. Third party tested, like all the doubts that I would have about taking a supplement, I had to address before I could go to market. And so that was it. I set out on a quest. I'm like, collagen's kind of stinky. Collagen's clumpy. It's not easy to use. We got to solve those problems. And then I want the best in third party testing to help take that out.
I'm kind of curious, like when it comes to that, like how your knowledge of it, just taking it to now the type of collagen and ingredient, like the ingredient portion of it.
Yeah.
Like how much research did you guys have to sit there and do? Like what, like trying to find the good third party? Like how do you go about figuring that? Cause you don't have a nutrition base.
No, I have no nutrition background whatsoever. I was like a human experiment.
Yeah.
I took this stuff and it was not a placebo effect. I got better. And, you know, and I'm qualifying better as from a guy who was really feeling the effects of aging to someone who felt phenomenal. Yeah. And like, that's not placebo. So the first thing I started to learn about was sourcing. Well, where's collagen come from? Oh, there's gelatin. So it can come from bone. And the better stuff comes from hide. Oh, why is it better in hide? Oh, well, the amino acid profile is a little bit richer. Your glycine, your proline, your hydroproline, like all of your amino acids, these essential amino acids. And then I'm like, well, why is it called collagen protein, but you know, not peptide? Actually, it shouldn't be called a protein because it lacks tryptophan, one of the essential amino acids. Yeah. But it's loaded on glycine and proline and these other amino acids that really help with different areas of your connective tissue support. Bingo. Well, that's why it wants to gel together. That's why collagen gets clumpy. How do I solve for that? Well, you need a really good hydrolysis process. You have to agglomerate the powder. These are terms I didn't know.
Right.
And then flavor. this is ground up cowhide. It's got a pungent cow flavor. If you've ever been to a farm, you know the cows stink.
Well, I've bought some pretty nasty collagen before we were bubs, and that kind of stinks too.
But yeah. It does. It really does. And like the quality differences, like there's kind of fair collagen, and then on the great side, very, very few.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of live in the middle. They're fair to good. And I always tell folks like, hey, if you're taking a product and it works for you, keep doing it.
Yeah.
If you want to level it up, if you have a more discerning palate, like you don't want to smell cowhide, give ours a try. If you want one that really dissolves well, give ours a try. If you don't care, keep using what you're using. But use something because it works.
I know from like the no flavor, like that's what I like about it, honestly. It's like, it's hard for me to do like any kind of protein powders whatsoever.
Oh.
You know, I just like whey protein just doesn't sit with me well, but it's also sometimes the taste of it, like the flavor of it is off, right? And that's why I've always liked collagen and the fact it doesn't have any flavor. Is that something that would not work whatsoever in the collagen if you started adding a little bit of flavor to it? Or is it better just to not have any, like just...
No, it would work. I mean, adding flavor to collagen is totally subjective. It's not going to enhance the performance of the collagen. Right. The biggest thing that you would see added to collagen for performance is vitamin C. So vitamin C is a cofactor to collagen synthesis. Like they go together like peas and carrots is how I always say it.
But vitamin C actually activates so much other things in, But like they say, take it with orange juice, right? Yep. If you're taking your medication.
Yeah.
Right? It just helps absorbs it.
Yeah, exactly.
Helps absorption.
So vitamin C is one of the items you'll see added to it. But vitamin C is tart. It's got, aspartic acid, like it kind of has that little bite to it. So that'll throw the flavor off. So then you throw other flavors on top of it to mask that. And there's usually not enough vitamin C added to collagens to be effective in any way. We're talking like 50, 60 milligrams per serving.
Mm.
Well, we know that the human body wants to, as an adult, you want 500 plus milligrams of vitamin C a day. And maybe you're getting in your diet, maybe you're not, but I'm not going to throw 500 milligrams into a collagen. I'm going to take that separately. So like at Bubs, we make a vitamin C. Mm-hmm. We make it specifically because I don't want you to have a bad experience with your collagen. Just take a capsule of vitamin C over here and they can go together, peas and carrots. But on the flavoring side, it's usually done when you've got a low quality collagen or because you're trying to mix different types of collagens. So for example, we're working on one right now that we're calling a Collagen Peptide Pro. And the Collagen Peptides Pro is in a vanilla and a chocolate. And the reason we're doing two flavors is we're specifically adding type 2 collagen.
Okay.
Type 2 collagen is strongly linked to joint health, joint repair. Like it's key in the joint health. However, it's really pungent. So if I throw it in an unflavored formula in the right amount, it's going to make it really gamey. And then I'm going to get these reviews. This stuff smells funny.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, because, it's going to work really well, but it's got a stink to it. Well, then you would add a vanilla, you would add a chocolate, you would kind of mask that unpleasantness so that it's just easier to use for the end consumer. Then I'm in full support. Or else it's just like, what's going to get you over the hump? Like you might tell me, dude, I just can't take collagen because I love my chocolate and that's just your thing. Well, if I can make a product that gets you over the line and is going to increase your flexibility, your muscle recovery, your hair, skin, and nails, and the taste is good for you, game on.
Good.
Yeah. I've always, what I like about it, I have a hard time putting in my drinks. So I'm actually put it in my food when I'm making food at night. It's just, it's easier for me.
I like coffee, dude.
I don't drink coffee.
Coffee with the MCT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a banger.
Banger right there, dude. this MCT creamer from Bubs and the collagen scoop done. It's so good.
See, because I don't drink coffee, it's hard. So I
you can put it in hot cocoa,
it's
bro.
Because you don't drink coffee that we don't trust you.
Yeah.
That's
exactly,
it.
Bro.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I realize that if I'm just, cooking something, I just put a scoop in there. I don't even know. It works just as well.
I tell people that on customer service. I'm like, oh, do you ever, make rice, mashed potatoes? Like, pasta. Yeah. Like these are different ways you can. Pasta, it'll drain out. So that's a bad one, but I'm like, any soup, any sauces, it goes right in. And there's a gazillion recipes. Like you go to Pinterest and type in, collagen sauce, and you're going to get a million recipe option. Like, there's a ton out there. It's cool. It's a very versatile incomplete protein. It's an awesome tool to work with. It's heat tolerant. You can bake up to 450 degrees with it. Like, you know, you can practically broil with it. Like, it's just not going to denature.
I like the fact that it doesn't clump up my coffee. That's the huge part. Like, when I used to put just regular old protein, it used to clump up so disgusting. You know, you just drink it because you need that protein, but the bubs in it doesn't clump up at all. It's so nice.
You know what, Omar, he's just a Viking. It's nasty.
Yeah,
he's
I don't care, dude.
He's a Mexican Viking.
I'm the average Mexican superhero, man. Remember that, dude. Take my name away, dude.
We actually discussed wearing a wrestling mask before he came on here, and he didn't opt for that.
He has his luchador mask. He probably should have worn.
No, dude. No. Come on now, man. Come on now.
No, it's been a wild journey. I mean, I'll definitely say that. And you know, doing collagen right is like why, if that's what I'm going to take for myself, that's what I want to take. I don't want to take it at some half-assed level. I don't want to take some B-grade brand off of Amazon. I don't want one that clumps. And if I can kind of use that Glen North Star to help guide the process, and I can think of what I want to take for my longevity, my wellness. I mean, shit, I'm 54 years old. I want to stay in the game. I'm not going to roll over tomorrow. Like, I still want to hit PRs. And if that PR is lifting, if it's running, if it's cycling, I don't care what it is, but I don't want to let age be that limiting factor.
Yeah.
So nutrition and the choices that we make become more and more important. Like, you're invincible when you're in your 20s. You can do anything, eat some pizza and get drunk and go snowboarding.
And Cheetos and let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the man to my right over here when I say that.
Yeah.
Right. But to show up, you know, at any given age and be able to represent, like, that's awesome. Feels good.
When is the Peptide Pro going to come out?
End of the year. I'm actually in flavoring right now for it. So it's actually super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting to get those first samples out of the vanilla and the chocolate, but yeah, we're targeting tail end of the year.
You're able to work with the same suppliers and all, and the same group to do the flavoring stuff, or you have to outsource more for the flavoring too, because obviously the flavoring is key. You want a good chocolate. You want a good vanilla flavor. Like, are you able to work with the same group?
This is actually an interesting point. Work with the same people. When you go out and you look at the landscape of collagen, you've got, you know, Garden of Life, Sports Research, Vital Proteins, right? 2/3 of those brands are owned by Nestle. Like, they're these giant food conglomerates. Yes. And no disrespect to them, because they're helping to scale the message of collagen out to a wider audience. So I give them full props. However, they're buying from any different source that's out there. So when I kept talking about the fair to the good stuff, it's a mixed bag. Yeah. For the 7 years we've been doing this, we buy from one supplier. I've been exclusive with one supplier. So I know my flavor, my solubility, my amino acid profile, lock, stock, and barrel. And we've built a really good relationship over the years to make sure that we can scale and grow together, which has been awesome. Then when it comes to flavoring it, I know what my base material is going to be at all times. So I'm controlling the variabilities.
Got it.
It's going to be this baseline. Now we're going to add the flavors to it so that I know years from now, my vanilla is my vanilla, my chocolate's my chocolate. It's not going to taste one day this way and another day a different way. It's going to be consistent. And that's what we want.
Yeah. I like the fact that Omar referenced the MCT. So just let's quickly talk about that, because the MCT creamer is really good as well.
Freaking delicious.
But it took me a little bit to figure out actually what MCT was and did.
What was it for?
Yeah. Well, me too. You're not alone.
Okay.
So I remember when Laird Superfood Creamer hit the market.
You guys
remember that? Yeah. Like, it kind of hit like a wave, and I was like, what's this stuff?
Yeah.
And I kind of ignored it because I was like, that's kind of weird to me, but it's something. And I'll never forget flying to Kauai and seeing it at like a local coffee shop. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was in like Laird Hamilton's hometown at the time. So it would make sense that the product was at the local coffee shop. But I tried it and it was horrible. I mean, disgusting. And I was like, so this is a thing? Like, you're putting a creamer in, but it's not actually creamy. Like, there was no visual change. Yeah. My coffee kind of went from jet black to mud. And it just kind of stuck in my head. This was in like 2016. It was before Bubs.
Yeah.
After we were in business, a guy that was at the gym with us, Tim Infin, mm-hmm. is a material supplier in the food industry. And he actually was the one who brought it up to me. He's like, hey, have you ever tried MCTs? And I'm like, what's that? And he kind of did the Laird reference. He's like, well, MCTs are medium chain triglycerides. It's coconut oil. Oh, it is? He's like, yeah, it's coconut oil, but that's a longer chain fatty acid. When you break it into a smaller chain, a medium chain triglyceride or fatty acid, it actually absorbs into the blood-brain barrier, and it's really good for focus, mental focus, and it's a healthy fat for energy for your body. He's like, so you don't really need the sugar, and you get juiced up, and you're just a little bit more tuned up. So I'm like, huh. He's like, yeah, we make one, and it's creamy. So I tried it. I put in a cup of coffee, you know, mixed it in, and I'm like, no cream, like no half and half. And I was a religious half and half guy. Sometimes heavy cream, sometimes half and half. But I always liked a little color and just that sense of creaminess in the coffee, a little bit of that kind of fattiness.
Yeah.
And this delivered the fat. And I'd heard of bulletproof coffees, and it was the same concept, that idea of the MCT going into your bloodstream and really giving you that little mental focus. So I'm like, oh, this is like that old school bulletproof biohack thing. Yeah. The difference was it was delicious. So I've tried coconut oil in coffee and a pat of butter, and it was disgusting. I can drink it.
Wait, but it's coconut oil and
yeah, dude, this was a thing.
This was bulletproof coffee, dude.
The original bulletproof.
Oh, really?
Coffee.
Yeah,
and then it's fine tuned.
Oh, that just doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah. But it was made popular because of people that were doing like fasted diets, man.
Yeah,
like ketogenic diets and stuff like that. So people were just pounding them.
This was all keto. Yeah. When the keto craze hit, 2014, 2015,
it blew up.
The idea, the MCT coffee, the bulletproof coffee, Dave Asprey made it famous, started that whole company, Bulletproof. Yeah. And so what I was always thinking with Bubs once we had the company was, whatever we do, it's got to taste good. If it doesn't taste good, you're never going to absorb it. I mean, castor oil is good for you, but good luck slugging that stuff.
I mean, that's what I take every morning when I wake up.
Put that in your coffee.
No, seriously, like, think about it. Apple cider vinegar is good for you.
Yeah.
But you want to drink that every day? Like slug some Bragg's? Yeah. Hell no.
The acidity level.
So on the creamer side, it was like this total hit for me personally. I was like, I took a sample from him. I tried it and I was like, this is delicious. And then we're like, well, we put collagen in coffee. This could be like the functional creamer in coffee. And it was like a 1-2 punch.
Okay.
So by the end of 2018, our first real year in business, we introduced MCT oil powder as our second product. It was just two ingredients. Like the idea was coconut oil broken into a medium chain triglyceride and tapioca starch, which is creamy on its own.
Yeah.
It's not as absorbable. So like you can only put like 50-55% oil in there, but who cares? That's plenty. That's like 5 grams of oil per serving. I looked at Laird's stuff and I was like, hey, no disrespect to Laird, who I think is like superhuman when it comes to athletic performance and educating people on good nutrition, but they only had like 1.5 grams of MCTs in there. I'm like, no, at 5, I feel it. Mm. So that was, I was like, okay, it's functional. It works, tastes great. It meets all these, it checks all the right boxes. It meets the criteria for Bubs. And so that was our number two product.
Huh. It's so good, dude. And even like I'm ADHD, so it's for me just to kind of stay super focused with my cup of coffee. Caffeine and MCT oil are a must for me not to be on chemical dependent things like Adderall and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so it's key, dude.
And that's what you want. You want the more natural route. Like we've got enough in what's out in our food supply to tackle most of those types of problems and opportunities to get more focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's key, dude. It's so good.
I'm still stuck on the butter and the.
Dude, that was.
I'm still stuck on that. I'm like, who would want to do that?
It's a little
nasty. As a nutritional coach, bro, I had to try it because it's like, some people were just about it. And I tried it. I was like, this is the most disgusting thing that I could ever put in my mouth.
It amazes me what people will do just because they think something is going to be better for them.
No, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. But. If it tastes good and it works for you and it's functional, like, you know, you can feel it in your body. Collagen, I could feel it in my body. The MCT, like I could tell, like I could feel it just a little bit more dialed in, a little bit more focused. And I mean, I learned the hard way on electrolytes, like use it or lose it. Like, oh my God, wow, this stuff really works. If you've ever had a muscle cramp or you've ever felt dizzy or you've ever just crashed in a workout, you got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
What were those contributing factors? And the more you learn about those contributing factors, the more you can prevent them in the future.
Yeah.
But you know, there's this great statement, right? Failure is the best teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. We look for it, don't we?
Yeah.
At least I do. Oh. Well, I failed a couple times.
I think as business owners and all of us, we've all failed at one point in time or the other.
Yeah.
That's why we are in a position we're in right now, that we have successful businesses and everything else. But you mentioned the electrolytes. So that's
before we talk the electrolytes, let's talk about why. What's your New York Times? We're talking about electrolytes. We got to talk about the New York Times. Here we go. I'm trying to get you fired up.
You're trying to trick me.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, here you go.
I like it. Let's talk about the New York Times first, right? You're getting me fired up. Yeah.
Right. We're talking about recovery, joint health, all this stuff. I need a spark, bud.
All right. I'll give you one. I'll keep it simple. I hate clickbait journalism.
Yeah, all right. Good.
I can't stand that crap.
That should have been your bio when you first asked them the first question. Yeah, probably. I hate this. That's your new bio, bro.
Coming here with hate. Nope. I don't like half-baked articles that pull the public in potentially a wrong and damaging direction. And that article is, to me, irresponsible journalism. Mm. It was not balanced. Mm. It did not offer a counterpoint. It just pushed in and said, hey, you don't need anything except for water. Electrolytes are a fad. You don't need these. And you guys have athletic clients. You have a race series called Endurance Race Series. You have seen dehydration at its absolute worst.
Yep.
And if your solution to everyone participating in your events at your gym was just drink more water, guys and girls, you'd have lawsuits on your hand and you'd have cramping. You'd have members that would quit your gym. They would never come back for another race. Now, if you give them proper electrolytes in the right ratios, they're going to stick around and they're going to have a great experience and they're going to come back for more and they're going to achieve personal best and they're going to be, you know, have these celebratory moments about their fitness. And instead, the New York Times wants clicks. So they're writing articles about just drinking water. And it, to me, it's totally irresponsible.
Ugh. Such a big platform. But a lot of social media is that way nowadays. It's kind of, it's disgusting.
Well, honestly, right? The media in general is like that. It's all one-sided. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you get, whether you're talking about print media, like the Wall Street Journal, you're talking about TV media, you know, there's a left and right for everything. There's a one-sided. I think that media has gotten away from looking at, like you said, balancing out everything.
Let me give you a good example of balancing out. And then I want to go back on these New York Times clowns. Outside Magazine just wrote an article like a week ago about the benefits of college. And they give both sides. Hey, studies are limited. Find out for yourself, like do your own research. And it talked about how people have had these great results with it. It also says, hey, to us, what we're reading, the science is inconclusive, but there's a lot of promising notes out there. Well, this is all evolving, right? Like it takes years and years and years to get really good, you know, medical studies published and published well. And we're on that journey right now, every year.
From the supplement industry as well.
100%.
Yeah. Right.
So Outside, I think, did it right. They said, hey, here's this thing. And it seems to be helping a lot of people get outdoors and have more adventures. And I love that. And they were even skeptical about, they're like, we don't know everything that there is to know about it, but it looks promising. Now, the New York Times in 2024 wrote an article all about taking electrolytes. Interesting that 1 year later, they write a completely opposite-faced article that doesn't reference the first article in any way, shape, or form. They're actually very limited on the studies that they do reference, saying just drink water. Their assumption that the human body is going to, you know, have enough electrolytes naturally stored. You got enough sodium in your body naturally already. Like, what a great assumption. Are you kidding me? Like, it's irresponsible at best to write something like that and have someone read it and be like, oh, I guess I don't need electrolytes anymore. I don't need sodium. It's already in my bloodstream. Killer.
Yeah.
Yes, it's already in your bloodstream. But go outside in the Florida heat when it's 90 degrees outside, when you are losing between 500 milligrams or 2,000 milligrams per hour of those electrolytes, and tell me you've got enough naturally stored up in your body to compensate and not cause dizziness, nausea, fatigue, cramping. Like, these are serious conditions. So by telling you to drink a lot of water, yes, you're putting in the water into your bloodstream that you're losing out in sweat, but you're not putting any sodium in there. You're not putting any potassium in there, and you're not putting any functional sugars in there, functional carbs to drive that sodium into the bloodstream. Oh, by the way, that sodium is going to send all the right electrical signals in your body to do what it's supposed to do, like contract muscles and move, stay coordinated and functional in athletic activities and balance. So yeah, I get a little fired, you know, a little fired up on that one.
He started shifting in his chair, man. I thought you were going to jump up.
It's neat. We work with a really, really smart guy. His name's Dr. Nick Barringer. He's a PhD. And I sent him that article. I said, hey, this really doesn't sit right with me. And I'm no PhD, but you are. What do you think about this? And he wrote back to me and he said, this article is questionable at best. He said, yes, everyone needs to drink more water. But the whole point of drinking electrolytes with your water is that you're fortifying yourself with the right amount and the right ratio of sodium, potassium. So there's this organization called the World Health Organization. You guys have probably heard of it.
Yeah.
They came up with a standard. These are really smart doctors, all renowned around the world. And they came up with a standard called the ORS, the Oral Rehydration Solution. And it's effectively a ratio of sodium to potassium and sugar, carbs. And the carbs are there to drive the sodium rapidly into the bloodstream. It's for rapid rehydration. So think, you know, dysentery, think third world countries, and think, you know, massive dehydration due to illness, fatigue, marathon running, you name it. The ORS exists across like the health platforms of the world as a way to rapidly rehydrate people. Nowhere in there does it say just drink water. So I challenge the New York Times to do better research and give good case studies. If their article was titled, if you're a couch potato and don't move and stay in perfectly air-conditioned, you know, bubbles, water is probably just fine for you. Yeah. And you're going to get the right amount of electrolytes from eating a banana and some pretzels. They're not wrong.
Yeah, you mentioned that at the beginning of it when you talked about, you're right. People ask me all the time, especially in my gym, what do I need to supplement with?
Yeah.
Right. My natural reaction is, let's see what you're doing first. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to add anything or ask somebody to supplement on any one thing if they don't really need it. Right. If they're working out once a week and they show up to my gym once a week. Yeah. Drink some water, dude. You're fine. Right.
Yes.
But I also have the go-getters that are in there 6 days a week and then they go do a trail run right after that. Yeah. You might need to supplement with some things. You talked about sugar. You talk about potassium. You talk about sodium. What sets Bubs electrolytes apart from all the other products that are out there? Why wouldn't I just tell somebody to go drink some Gatorade?
I mean, you could. And I'll just leave that here for you to just digest.
or liquid IV, right? Right. I'm poking the bear, buddy.
But these are good questions.
Yeah.
And the fact is, taking something is better than nothing. Right. So, hey, if all you have around you is a Gatorade, okay, that'll help you in a pinch. Mm. You're going to get what? Maybe 100 milligrams, maybe 50 milligrams of sodium. Yeah. It's better than nothing. Mm. And you're going to get way more sugar. What? 25, 30 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
You don't need that much sugar. You only need enough sugar to drive the sodium into the bloodstream. It turns out there's a pretty simple ratio for that. So we developed Hydrate or Die to have the ORS standard, the oral rehydration solution standard, and the right ratio of electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium, chloride bound to the sodium. And there's about, you know, 6-7 grams of sugar per serving, because that's the right amount to drive 650 milligrams of sodium into the bloodstream rapidly. Mm. So it's ORS solution. It's right in the right ratios for that. Well, with liquid IV, there's over 14 grams of sugar per serving. Like, you don't need that much. And they're only putting in, you know, 450, 500 milligrams sodium. So the ratios are all off, but it tastes great. And, you know, Gatorade's even worse. So it's about the functionality.
Yeah.
And functionality has to meet flavor. I happen to think the Gatorades and the liquid IVs are flavor bombs. I think they taste horrible.
Oh, they're way too sweet.
I have to water it down if I
ever do. I do too,
right. Yeah. I went out to play ball, yeah.
But it turns out that you actually want the right amount of water with your electrolytes. It's this little thing called osmolality. So you want them in the right balancing. So for us, 16 to 20 ounces of water, I want to have the right flavor profile. Mm-hmm. So we're very mild by comparison in taste, but we've got more electrolytes.
Got it.
So when people say, oh, well, I could just take a liquid IV, I always say, well, they've got twice the sugar as Bubs. They've got half the electrolytes as Bubs, and they've got twice the ingredients as Bubs. So you can go clean label with Bubs. Oh, we're also NSF for Sports certified, and we sourced every ingredient made in the USA.
Oh, I want to ask about that really quick. What's So explain the whole entire sports certified thing.
Like, oh, yeah. What is the
I'm kind of curious.
The NSF because certification, all that stuff.
You know, I've read it and I've seen it, but I don't really understand it enough.
No,
to be like, because if I'm a consumer and I look at that and I'm like, what does this mean? So explain that to the listener really quick.
So NSF is the National Sanitation Foundation. This thing came out in like the 1930s or something. It was like an old FDR initiative.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's a way to certify a product to be healthy and safe.
Okay.
So that was its like original goal. Like I've got pool covers at pools that say NSF on them. It's a pool cover. It's a plastic pool cover, but it has to be safe for people. So it goes through this certification process.
Got it.
Well, a while ago, the NSF, the National Sanitation Foundation, got involved in testing supplements for purity of label claims.
Wow.
So we put our entire product line through NSF testing. And there's two levels. There's NSF contents verified, which means you take your product and they go, yes, everything they say is in here is in here. In other words, if you have something that shouldn't be in there, you don't pass. So it's a way of like kind of setting the table for label claims. And then their highest level of testing is called NSF for Sport certification. NSF for Sport certification is the gold standard.
Mm.
But what's gold standard for?
Yeah.
Banned substances, label claims. So when I say joint health, they're looking at that. They're looking at what I'm putting in the ingredients. They're saying, oh yes, these amino acids are in here. It has this amount of sodium in it. It has this amount of ingredients and it's free of all of these banned substances. It is the highest level of independent accreditation you can get to show that a product is free of banned substances and that what you see is what you get. That's it. Benchmark. It is the standard used by the NFL, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, PGA Golf, tennis, like you name it. They all go under NSF for Sport. So I figured if that's the most rigorous set of testing in the world, that's what I want for Bubs.
Wow. Are you guys the only collagen company that's NSF?
No. There's 5 or 6 out there that are NSF for Sport certified.
Okay. So it's a pretty common thing that a lot of these companies are getting, I guess.
No.
It's becoming a little more common because the consumer is becoming more demanding, thank God. Like the customer is finally asking for third-party testing.
Yeah.
Only a few brands do it. There's probably 50 collagen brands out there, maybe 5 do NSF for Sport.
That's what I was going to get into. It's like the supplement world is the wild, wild west, dude.
Yeah.
So when you say NSF for Sport, I did not know it just like you did, but I will say that they're not regulated, so much so that you get like god-awful pre-workouts or what are these crazy things that people are actually consuming right before a workout. Yeah. And they're like, well, this made me feel tingly. Like, do you understand what's in there?
Yeah.
And like, how many times have I gotten a product put in my face? And it's like, can you pronounce any of these things into you? And this is what you're using to fool yourself for a workout. And there's no guarantee that what they say is in there is actually in there.
Right.
So I did not know that the NSF.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you want to free yourself of banned substances, and you want to know that what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
NSF for Sport is the benchmark certification. So we spend a lot of money with those guys.
Imagine.
But when it comes to my electrolytes, when it comes to Hydrate or Die, when it comes to our creatine monohydrate, which we're coming out with shortly, and when it comes to our collagen line, the entire line, I want every customer to walk up. And even if they don't know what it is, they know that it's got some badge on there and it means something.
Yeah.
And the ones that do know, they're dining at the top because no one is going to put themselves through that testing criteria and fail because then they're done.
And not only that, dude, it's like, it's kind of sad because you can walk into, I mean, you just Google supplements online and the greater majority of them, you don't know. Right. And so it's kind of scary from a coaching perspective.
I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, they want to get rid of red dyes. They want to get, I think the general public is getting more and more familiar with why the hell are we putting this into our body? Why? That's the thing that I love about going overseas. It's like everything is, there's no processed shit in it.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that
we're getting there. We're slowly. Yeah. And I mean, look at Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a polarizing figure as the day is long, but damn, if that man does not truly care about health. Now, his approach to health has got people moving in different directions, but you can't say anything in 2025 without making a stink somewhere. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's taking a stand and he is putting some stakes in the ground and saying no to red dyes. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. It's like, yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. And I'm all for it in the sense that it's opening people's eyes to paying attention to what's going in their bodies.
Yes.
And if you look at the right uses and the right use cases, having third-party testing is, to me, should be a table stake. It shouldn't be like, oh, the best brands do this. It should be like, no, all brands should do this. And we would wipe out half of the low-grade crap that you can get on a store shelf right now.
Is NSF Sport certified or NSF Sport, is that carried worldwide?
Yes. So there's Informed Sport. That's a little bit more used over in Europe.
Okay.
But NSF works across everything. Okay. And I had a choice. I was like, oh, I could do Informed Sports a little bit cheaper or NSF Sport. And I remember like meeting some folks that worked with Major League Baseball teams and they're like, well, that's the standard. I'm like, oh, well, say no more, fam.
Say that's it.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, I didn't even think that I was going to land Major League Baseball teams as customers.
Yeah.
Like, I never dreamed in 2018 that I would be in the locker room of over 25 teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh man, like
I want to hear about this a little bit. How did this all get connected, and what do? Because I assume it's their strength and conditioning coaches that have
and nutritionists
and nutritionists that have worked with you and stuff. Like, so how did that all come about? With everything, and then because it interests me when people in products get into major league sports, because there's a process with that, and if you know you get into that, that's high level athletes are now testifying to the products they're using.
So, yeah, we become a part of their protocol.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So in 2018, we had just launched Bubs, and I had just learned about the NSF for Sport certification, and I was like, well, this is the benchmark. This is the highest standard. I'm going to go and do it. So in 2018, we learned about the NSF for Sport mark, and I learned that it was the highest benchmark. So I said, okay, I want that. I want to put that on our labels. I had no idea about the sports teams component of it or that they would grant you access to working with folks at a high level. I just knew that it was the highest level of independent testing that you can get for quality. I said, well, that's it. If I'm going to put Bub's name on the jar, we're getting that. After we passed NSF for Sport certification, I got an email from Major League Baseball Players Association.
Oh.
And the email was, hey, now that you have NSF for Sport certification, you're invited to have a booth at baseball winter meetings.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, damn.
Okay.
So I had no idea that there was this whole machine on the back end of Major League Baseball. But of course there is. It's an annual trade show where a lot of the deals are done. It's like when Otani goes to the Dodgers and there's a big press conference and there's all this buzz around it, or Soto, you know, comes over to the Padres. Like when those things were happening, a lot of those deals were getting done at baseball winter meetings. And they happen in December every year after the season's over, like before the offseason, you know, like before spring training starts.
Yep.
And it's when the strength and conditioning coaches and the nutritionists for most teams in baseball are looking around to see what kind of products they want to spend money on and what kind of nutrition they want to have in their locker room. So every brand that is NSF for Sport certified in the nutrition space gets invited to go to baseball winter meetings. Cool. You get a little 10 by 10 booth, you get a little table, and you stick your product on there. So in 2018, I knew nothing. I mean, nothing about baseball and this whole mechanics. And it's like, we set up a table right here, and these guys at a company called Thorn are right next to us, which I've come to love dearly because they're just awesome folks in the nutrition space. And we're all just hanging out there, and all of a sudden, guy from the Cincinnati Reds comes up, and he's like, what do you got here? I'm like, we got the best collagen on the planet right here. He's like, how do I know that? I'm like, it's NSF for Sports certified. It's got the best flavor profile. We give 10% of profits to military charity. He goes, wait, what? I'm like, I give him the story about Bub and who Glenn was, my best friend. And I'm just talking his ear off. The guy's like, I'll buy 5 cases right now.
Oh.
I'm like, what? Okay. So I literally sold 5 cases to the Cincinnati Reds. And that was our first team. And then the Mets come up. And then we do business with the Mets. And then it just.
Do you have enough cases?
No. We backfilled in the solution.
Yeah.
But it was just the idea that there was that much enthusiasm for it. And they were like, hey, you guys are cool. We did something else that I do as a branding guy. I had a bunch of Yeti mugs made and I had them on the table. And I said, if you place an order, you get a Yeti mug. And no other brand was doing that then. So like this guy gets a Yeti mug because he bought a couple of cases and he's like, this great Yeti mug. And then the next team, and then the next team. And over the course of the next few years, we opened almost every single team in baseball.
Wow.
And it's been awesome. And I mean, the minor teams and the majors, like I have a text thread going with Thomas Knox, who's, you know, the main performance guy for the St. Louis Cardinals. And like, I'll just talk to him back and forth. And like, these are great, smart, informed, like nutrition and physical movement experts. Yeah. These guys are paid to manage these multi-million dollar payrolls. And these athletes, these assets in their organization are under their guidance for nutrition, for physical programming, for their recovery. So we get to be an essential part of that programming. It is awesome. And I mean, I'll give you an example. When we were getting ready to formulate Hydrate or Die, and I was like, I want a clean, simple electrolyte that's really going to deliver. And I'm texting back and forth with Thomas Knox from the St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm like, Thomas, like, you know, what do you think? And he's given me what he wants for his players. I'm like, I can do that. And in fact, it's right in line with what I want to produce. So, hey, a clean, simple formula loaded with the right amount of electrolytes in the ORS standard. Like, this is great. I'm hearing from folks that are managing dozens and dozens and dozens of pro athletes under various use cases. Some people have heavy sweat profiles. Some people have light sweat profiles, but they're all out for hours and hours at a time. So what a great test audience.
Yeah.
So it's been really neat to be able to work with pro sports teams because they don't mince words. You either have the best product or they're going to move on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, they're worried about their performance as well. So, I mean, we talked about the quality of Bubs and its all of its products. And we talked about supplements not being the most tested things out there. But if you have an NSF certification, sports certification, to be clear, and you have some case studies, now you're talking some true information and feedback that you're not just grabbing something off the shelf and giving it to an elite athlete and praying that it does its job.
Yeah. No, you got the little thing called science behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest sell, in my opinion, right? If you got some, I mean, we've had other supplement companies on the podcast, right? And we talk about them and it's the biggest struggle is getting into a performance-based arena and putting something in their body when they're at the most extreme trying to perform.
Yeah.
Right. And here you got Bubs Naturals who's been tested, has case studies and all that stuff. It's just by far something that as a nutritionist or a nutritional coach would be able to feel comfortable giving to their athletes.
Nice. Well, I mean, that's the name of the game. And it's like, I mean, I'll go back to the electrolytes. When we were thinking up the idea of what a functional electrolyte would look like, and we have the ORS, this oral rehydration solution standard out there. Well, I want a really good sodium source. Sea salt, right? You've got a ton of chloride bound to sodium. Those are two key electrolytes. Yeah. Oh, potassium. Oh, magnesium. And you can dabble in calcium. You can add some other stuff in there, but those are really the core. And then sugar, you just need a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, if you put those together, where can you get all that stuff? Right? Like this, now it's ingredient integrity. You can get stuff from anywhere, right? But again, if you're going to go through NSF for sport, where you get your raw materials from is equally as important. So I'm looking at sea salt and I'm like, you know, I feel like you can get a really good sea salt in the United States. Turns out you can. I feel like, can't you get potassium and like magnesium in like Indiana? There's like all these little mineral fine salts at Utah. Turns out you can. So we end up sourcing magnesium, the potassium, sodium chloride, and U.S. cane sugar, because that's all Louisiana, Florida.
Wow.
So I'm like, guys, we just made this entire product is now made in the USA. So this is about a year ago. And I was like, wouldn't it be cool if, and so I challenged, this is the challenge to your co-packers, challenge to the people that are helping you with the formulation. I've got the ratio of electrolytes. I know the functionality is going to work. I've got these amazing doctors on board to validate all of that. Now the ingredient integrity can be absolute benchmark. And it's not that you don't get good ingredients from other countries. You absolutely can. But wouldn't it be neat if? And then we know the supply chain traceability for everything, crystal clear. It's like that for our collagen. We know where the farms are, where the cows are in pasture, on grass-fed, pasture-raised landscapes to their slaughterhouse. Like I know that where they go through their chain of life. Same thing for the electrolytes. Like I want to know where everything comes from. So that way when I'm taking it over to NSF and I'm giving it to them, I feel great about this. Everything, yeah. Every ingredient is tested before it goes in, it's tested by NSF, and it's tested a third time coming out. Perfect.
But I also think it's the fundamentals of like knowing as well. Like you talked about electrolyte, you talked about collagen, you talk about proteins and all these other things that we do, right? Creatine, you said Bubs is coming out with creatine.
Creatine is the most studied supplement in the world. This creatine monohydrate.
This is why I'm bringing it up.
It is on a hype train right now. Like 100%. You can't go on Instagram or swipe TikTok or do whatever the hell you're doing without having some nutrition expert talking to you about how you need creatine monohydrate, not just for muscle build, but for cognition, for longevity. Like it is being linked every which way. It does everything except make your bed in the morning. Yeah. And we're working on that.
Yeah.
But there's these dirty little secrets in the supplement industry. And one of those dirty little secrets is that almost every single creatine monohydrate is produced in China. Oh. I don't have anything against the country of China, but I will tell you that their regulatory standards are way different than they are in the United States. They are way different than they are in Europe. Well, it turns out there's only one creatine monohydrate that is produced not there. And it's in Germany. And it's a private label product called Creapure. So when we decided to make a creatine monohydrate, it did not take me long to figure out who my supplier was going to be for this product.
Nice.
Because I don't want to look my consumers in the eye and say, hey, I got this product from China. Oh yeah, it's NSF for Sports certified, but you know, the supply chain's a little murky over there. So instead, I went with the one that is from Germany. I went with the highest level of creatine monohydrate that you can get on the market, period. And that's how you do it, in my opinion. That's how Bubs does it. I want my customer base, I want the consumer to come in knowing that, hey, you might not like the flavor. That's on you. You're bad. But you're going to love the integrity of the product. You're going to love the benefits because it's going to deliver. And truly, the flavor. Yeah. You're going to make sure that this is, again, it's adaptable. It's easy to use. And put that NSF mark on everything that you do because and back it up.
Standards there.
Can I ask about Hydrate version 1 versus version 2?
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about mistakes?
No,
yeah.
Well, I do.
So here we go.
I want to ask that before I want to ask that before I approach it because I there is a huge difference.
I feel like he just kicked me square in the dick.
He did. He did. I mean, geez.
But I
okay. So when we very first had the idea for Hydrate or Die, I was so hell bent on the definition of natural, Bubs Naturals, that I challenged our co-mans on what that should look like.
Okay.
And what I didn't realize is that you can get magnesium, you can get potassium, you can get a lot of these electrolytes from a lot of natural sources, mined right from the earth. So I was hell bent on coconut. And the reason I wanted coconut was one, I like coconut water. But you could get coconut sugar to deliver the carbs and you could get potassium from the coconut naturally. So I was like, you can use an evaporated organic coconut water and that will be the basis for the product. I didn't take into consideration that coconut water is incredibly polarizing. Mm-hmm. I didn't take into consideration that it's very mild in flavor and some people just really don't like it. And then we throw a bunch of salt on top of it. It really tweaks the flavor and not in a pleasant way. So I was being too bullheaded. I was being too stubborn and I wasn't looking around holistically at what my options were. And so I created a product, the original Hydrate or Die, based on organic evaporated coconut water and Himalayan salt. And it was too expensive. The flavor was incredibly polarizing and it worked great. So it was like, I didn't adhere to those brand values that I had put out there about flavor and performance. I took performance all the way and I was a little bit too dogmatic in my vision of what it had to be. And then the unit economics were horrible. I mean, yeah. Jeff, this was so crazy, cost prohibitive, expensive to make.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot of lessons from that one.
Well, but I think the company is better for it though. That, I mean, we talk about, you know, failures and getting back up. Like, yes, Hydrate Dye was really salty. Yeah. The first iteration of it. The second version is amazing. I love it. I think you guys have nailed the flavor profile with it and how it all, you know, comes together. It's not super sweet.
Yeah.
You can take it and not have to worry about, oh, it's a little bit too bitter, too sweet, whatever. So I think you guys learning from that actually created even better product. So I commend you on that and looking at that and saying like, yeah, this isn't working. Let's figure it out because it definitely was. I always want to support Bubs. And I was like, man,
I can't get with this.
And I was just like, I really want to, but it was hard.
I had some of my friends came at me and they're just like, Sean, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're like, we love your creamer. We love the collagen, but yo, what's up with this one? And I mean, I had to admit after a while, like I thought it was delicious, but then if you think it sucks, well, that's 50% difference there. That means I'm only going to sell to me.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. I have to make this a lot more palatable. So I lost my footing on what I thought was flavor, which is totally subjective to the individual. And it was a tough lesson learned. We did the same thing with coffee. Coffee was a tough experiment. Like our audience emailed us, you got to make coffee. We love putting collagen and creamer in the coffee. Make some coffee. We trust you to make a good coffee. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of really, really good coffee roasters out there.
Yeah.
And we are doing it just as good as them. However, that's all they do. It's their core competency. So we launched into coffee just like we did the first round of electrolytes. And then we had to pull back and be like, wait, what are we doing? Who do we want to be? I want to focus on human performance. I want to focus on longevity. And I want to focus on those things through the lens of natural ingredients. Coffee's not where we belong. Yeah. It's a great energizing product. There are literally 100 brands I could recommend that do coffee at an incredibly high level. I don't need to be one of them.
Right.
Now, collagen, different story. Electrolytes, different story. Creatine monohydrate, different story. The Collagen Peptides Pro, the next one that we're coming out with, different story. But some things, you know, you can get a little bit too far and wide. I had to learn that lesson of like pulling us back into where the company belongs.
Stay in your lane, figure out what you really
need. Well, that was going to be my question is like, how do you, like, what is your goal as far as when you come out with products and like, what makes you like look at it and say, oh, we're going to come out with the creatine product. We're going to, you know, come out with the electrolyte product. You know, how do you guys process that? What do you look at as far as, hey, these are the products that we want to work with, create and make sure that they're out there for human performance. Like how do you have a process that you look at when you're creating those things?
Yeah. You know, it's usually selfishly, what do I want to take? And I am the first stopper that like, hey, as a 54-year-old, you know, athlete or 54-year-old dad who wants to be as active as humanly possible, what are the things that I should be taking? And is that transferable, right? Because I don't want to get super niche, but there are some things that I take. There are things that Heather, my wife, takes. And we're working professionals. We want to live forever. And we want to live forever doing stuff at an incredibly high level. And whether we can or can't is, you know, remains to be seen, but we sure as shit don't want to let our bodies you know, fall off. So we work really hard to maintain that edge. And I think that's a healthy, you know, mindset for anyone. So when I look at nutrition and I realize, oh, creatine monohydrate's really important for muscle atrophy, and guys over 40 start losing muscle and so do women, boy, it's not just about getting jacked and tan. It has a great function to the product. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I should be using this product. Huh. Well, we're in the powder business and that's a powder. How does that apply to bubs? Digestion, like, you know, do we want to get in the probiotic space? No, but apple cider vinegar kind of makes sense for us. So then you move around to different products and you just look at them. We're looking at a vitamin K2-D3 right now. We're looking at magnesium bisglycinate. We're looking at omega-3s. And I'm looking at them really closely because those are my daily stack. And they're all built into like every nutritionist top 10 list, mm-hmm. along with creatine, along with the collagen. And I'm like, these are your daily essentials. And they can all be done at a much higher level than usually what you see in the market today. Okay, I've got a reason I can jump in here. We're looking at full spectrum proteins, but I'm looking at them as a combo. Like, I'm actually really excited to take creatine monohydrate, our collagen peptides, and a full spectrum protein and blend them all together in the right ratios. 5 grams of creatine, 10 grams of collagen, 20 grams of a whey protein isolate. Mm. How do they go together? Single serve packet.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Because I have to take my protein isolate somewhere else that's not Bubs.
And I'm going to help you with that. Please. But these are the criteria. Please. Yes. But these are the things that get us really excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, we belong in this space. Mm-hmm. We can make a difference in this space. We can make a difference with electrolytes. And I know that I can serve not just an athlete, but someone who's flying across country with Hydrate or Die. Mm. We can serve folks with clean ingredients, third-party tested, made in the USA, and done at the absolute highest level, and taste great.
Yeah.
Cool. We've got a purpose. We can get with that.
Are you guys going to do, so your Hydrate or Die comes in this, just a single serving packet.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do like a bigger bulk style? And I asked this from a
consumer.
From a consumer, you're like, well, a race director perspective, yes, right? Because that's a whole entire other category. If you've got bulk product that race directors can now look at it and be like, hey, I want to stop using Gatorade powder for my aid stations.
Yeah.
That's what happens, right? Like,
you make a good point.
So is that a possibility with the way you guys have got it formulated and everything else? And
so there's a yes and no to that. When you have those ingredients out and exposed to the elements for a long period of time, they tend to glom up and clunch. You've seen it.
Like, yeah.
You go to the Gatorade after you've had it for a couple of weeks and you're like chiseling to get stuff terrible. Out mm-hmm. of there. It still has all the electrolytes in there, but most of that sugar is going, yeah, we're going to take all the moisture out of the air and we're going to just, you know, clump together. Single serve packets are a moisture barrier. They protect against that. I'm not big on the environmental waste that comes with those, but it preserves the integrity of the ingredients. So I'd rather hand you a pair of scissors and 20 sticks of electrolytes. And say,
you know, here you go, buddy. Otherwise, you're going to get a brick of electrolytes.
Yeah, well, it's a future state, though. It's a good question, but like I've done it with the Gatorade. Like I remember.
Oh
like,
yeah, and to be fair, like every single product does that.
Everyone right now. Does it.
It's a hard thing to factor in. Like you
need like 5% silicon dioxide. Yeah. To break it up and no one wants that.
I mean, yeah, I know it's gotta be hard. I just, from again, race director perspective where we're always looking for a better solution for our runners. And when I see races out there getting Gatorade packets for aid stations, I'm like, oh God, this is terrible. Like,
but you're onto something. I think the new solution is going to be called the intern. And the intern gets a pair of scissors.
Ooh,
wow. Over in the corner.
Yeah, right.
You like how I'm making this your problem?
Here, had her a box. Here you go. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to tell Lexi she's got a new job, I guess, huh?
Ooh.
Wow. Ooh.
Future state.
Future state, dude.
Yeah, we're going to get big in the event space. No, you're not wrong. And I've watched the brands that do have like their electrolytes in a jar and they can make them cheaper per serving.
Mm.
But if you're going to end up throwing out half the jar because you got to chisel the powder out of the bottom, then
it's
just, there's more waste that way. So it's a tough landscape to be in. But for now, it's single serve packets, and we'll be looking at tub sizes.
This has been informative. I like this.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. How do people get, what's the best way? I mean, we talked about event space.
Yep.
About gym spaces.
So, you know, it's interesting. My favorite wholesalers are gyms, because if a trainer has vetted a product and really believes in the product, then when I see it on their shelves, like, I'm like, okay, they know, they've done their homework, because they care about these athletes coming back to get back in the gym for their next training session. I also respect the natural food space, like, you know, your Sprouts, your Jimbo's, you know, stores like that. But, you know, for us, we actually run our business almost entirely direct to consumer. So our website's like where most people find us, bubsnaturals.com. Amazon, we're Amazon's choice, Amazon's Prime, Amazon, all the things. And Amazon's been a great partner because it's so convenient and easy for folks to find you. I like it when they come to our website because you can drill into the information. You can ask me questions and, you know, get answers if folks have, like, you know, certain dietary needs, like things you can't always get a good answer for on Amazon.
Yeah.
But I mean, both platforms are great. And then, yeah, we're in a handful of boutique fitness gyms. And if you happen to play for the Red Sox, you know, we're already in your locker room.
Don't play Red Sox.
Well, I think what I have always loved about Bubs versus some of the other brands is you guys have a story. There is a true story behind the product and why it exists.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that alone, going to your guys' website and just seeing that story would make anybody want to be like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I think it's great that you guys still, you know, give 10% back. Now you also do something where it's one day a year. What's the special one?
That's cool. We give 10% of profits to charity.
Yep.
But what I've learned after almost 7 years in this business is if you're not profitable, you're not donating anything.
Mm, yeah.
So we found ourselves in that situation after the first couple of years where we were growing, but every penny that we had was going right back into investing in the company. So that was really tough.
Yeah.
So we weren't donating very much money. So we came up with a sale early on in like 2019. I said, hey, on Veterans Day, this holiday where we celebrate Americans' veteran community, it's a celebration day. So it's not as solemn a day like Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I said, let's take that day and let's give 100% of proceeds to the Glendora Memorial Foundation.
I love that.
I'm like, just everything we do, like back out cost of product or shipping or like whatever those factors are, everything else goes to Glenn's foundation. And I remember the first year we did like $5,000 and I was like, oh, wow. And then it was $10,000 and then it was $15,000. And this last year, I mean, I wrote a check for $26,000.
That's awesome.
And people really rally. And I write the check and we record it and like throw it up on Instagram and send it off to Glenn's foundation. And now I'm like, well, that's the new benchmark. I got to do 30 this year. Yeah. Let's go. And the customers who come to our website, you know, they greeted with that message like, hey, today's Veterans Day. Today, we're going to give 100% of proceeds to Glenn's foundation. The neat thing about this year is that we've been really working hard to make the company profitable. And that means like really watching our expenses, watching the things that we do, dialing up the integrity of the ingredients, being smart about the choices that we make. And when we're being smart about those choices, be ready to write a check at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, Veterans Day is my favorite because it's a guarantee so that if I screw things up and make another coconut water product, we have that to fall back on and still donate to charity.
Well, like I said, I mean, Bubs has the story behind it, which I think just creates everything around the brand and what you guys are doing overall. So it's
very meaningful. I mean, you get a lot of these supplement companies, man. It's like the highlight is an actor or somebody's not even consuming the product.
Yeah.
Right. But when you have a brand that has such a deep purpose and a meaning behind it, it's real easy to get into.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's been a wild ride. I mean, 7 years of this thing that was really a little social experiment. Do people care about collagen and social giving? Like, do they care about our veteran community? And it turns out they do. Yeah. And we made a ton of mistakes along the way, but we keep trying to put the best foot forward and, you know, learn from those mistakes, evolve the product, evolve what we're doing, get it dialed in. And man, I couldn't be happier about the direction we're going in now. So it's been a, been a very fun ride for sure.
Nice. I mean, it's as a friend looking from the outside in, and it's been really cool, to see the growth of Bubs and where it started and to where it's at now. So it's, so I commend you for everything, Sean. It's been awesome, man.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that because you've watched us some pretty stressful years.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been good, but I appreciate you coming in, man. And finally giving us the story of Bubs and, you know, chatting about the product and everything else. It's been awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, as long as you're running races, you're going to have Hydrate or Die there. As long as you're running races, you're going to have our stuff there. Harder to get me there probably, but unless it's local and I can actually run one of your races.
I know, right? Well, you just got to be in town. You're off traveling to way too much.
Yeah, well, not now. Now the kids are in sports schedule, so I'm actually pretty locked
now,
down.
Now you're stuck at going to soccer. No,
you're
games.
Traveling from park to park.
Baseball, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Baseball games.
Baseball games. Yeah. That's it. That's the schedule. Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. This is a great conversation. Time. We're long overdue.
Yes, definitely. So thanks, man.
Perfect way to end the season.
Keep it coming.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.